Hello and welcome to episode 10, Endurance Through Fasting and Prayer. And this is our series, Step Into His Presence. What does it mean to endure in prayer and fasting? Anna is a woman who in the New Testament was an example of someone who endured. Some scholars believe she was a widow for 84 years, and during that time she never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying, until the promise of seeing the Messiah was fulfilled in her life. Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. My name is Stephanie Wright. Let's talk about endurance through fasting and prayer. Before we proceed, let's take a moment to revisit one of our previous episodes, Nothing is Impossible with God. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I encourage you to do so. In that episode, we explored scriptures, foundational principles, and contemporary examples of fasting with prayer, along with some important considerations for fasting, especially listening to your healthcare provider. This knowledge will serve as a solid foundation for our current discussion on endurance through fasting and prayer. We have previously discussed why we fast. This week, we will discuss when we should fast. I opened this episode with a scripture about Anna, one of my favorite Bible heroes. As I said, Anna was a prophetess, and she dedicated most of her life to service in the temple, waiting to see the Messiah. What is significant about this woman for today's presentation is that she fasted and prayed the majority of her adult life, 84 years. Most interpretations of the scripture believe that she was maybe 105 years old when she died. Luke chapter 2, 37 through 38. So when should we fast? Anytime is a good time, but the best time is when the Holy Spirit, our divine guide, leads us or compels us to fast. Let's reflect once more on how the Holy Spirit, our divine guide, compelled Jesus to fast. He is our stellar example of fasting because he was obedient to the Spirit and fasted 40 days and nights, then came out of that fast with the power to accomplish the work he was called to do. That's in Mark chapter 1. Another example of someone who fasted under the direction of the Holy Spirit is the Apostle Paul. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 27, that he was in fasting often. Paul indeed needed to be fasting often because he endured many tests and trials. He was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, on dangerous journeys, threatened by robbers, threatened by his own fellow countrymen, suffered hunger, thirst, cold, and nakedness, and he finished the list by saying he had the care of all the churches. The last one was probably more challenging than any of the other things he went through. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 28. So for Paul, fasting was probably any time and almost all the time. But that is what fasting will do. It helps you through difficult times, or as Paul said, perilous times. I cannot explain the strength that comes from fasting. It is something you have to experience for yourself. Fasting encourages you when you should be discouraged. Fasting gives you hope when you should feel hopeless. And when you want to give up and throw in the proverbial towel, fasting gives you the strength to go another round in the fight and finish the fight. Fasting helps you overcome bad habits, no matter how major or minor they are. One year, for example, in a Bible study, my husband and I taught about fasting during what is considered the Lenten season, or for about 6 weeks before Resurrection Sunday, Easter. While we did not require attendees to sacrifice anything during the six-week period, we did encourage it. I decided to sacrifice drinking my favorite soda pop. I say soda pop because in some parts of the country it's called soda, and in other parts of the country it's called pop. Anyway, I had this awful habit of going to the pop machine at work every day around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon to get a can of my favorite soda pop, which cost $1 every time I went to the machine. I would not just go buy some pop at the store because I might drink two cans of the stuff instead of just one. I was out of control. Nevertheless, by giving up that soda pop for 6 weeks, I was delivered from that bad habit. To this day, my soda pop habit has been conquered. I only occasionally have to have a can of the stuff. And by the way, the Bible study on fasting, which was supposed to end in 6 weeks, ended up going on for a year. And we still had more topics on fasting we could have covered. Now, that is an example of a small thing to be delivered from, but fasting helps to deliver from more serious habits or addictions than too much soda pop. Witness the number of people who have been set free from sexual addictions like pornography. Yes, fasting can break those kind of chains too. A lot of people fast only when trouble rears its ugly head. That's better than not fasting at all, but developing a consistent, committed plan for fasting is better. Why? Because it builds you up. It builds up your faith. And when the Spirit says fast, you will not struggle with knowing it is the Spirit and then obeying. June 1:20 tells us to build up our most holy faith. It is sort of like a good physical workout. If you are not consistent and committed to working out, you will find yourself huffing and puffing when you exercise. In fact, you may not want to exercise at all. An example of being ready to fast impromptu happened to me about 4 years ago. The Spirit compelled me on this particular day to stay in my bedroom, pray, and fast until about 5 p.m. I didn't understand why I was being told to do this, but I did. Well, the next day we were hiking with our grandsons, and my husband had a little episode in which he was attacked in his physical body. We almost had to call the paramedics, but the episode passed, and he was fine. He was encouraged to take a little bit better care of himself after that incident. But that is what I'm talking about when I say be consistent and committed to fasting. You need to be ready to obey the Spirit when you are told to fast and pray because you do not know what is going to happen the next day or the next hour, for that matter. We are spiritual warriors, and a true warrior is ready for action at a moment's notice. Another time when we should fast is when the pastor calls for a corporate fast. But you don't have to wait for the pastor to initiate a fast. By all means, if the Spirit directs you and if your soul needs to fast, you should fast. I went through a dry spell at one of my previous churches where the pastor didn't call for a corporate fast for a while, but I knew I needed an extended fast. My soul was in need, so I fasted, I think, for 2 days. But there was another time the same pastor did call for a corporate fast, and this story is kind of funny. I was feeling pretty good about the pastor's instructions for this particular fast until he said no caffeine was to be consumed during the fast. I am sure my head jerked quickly and my eyes shot wide open when he said that because that meant no coffee, and decaf was not going to cut it for me. Nevertheless, I obeyed and sacrificed my precious coffee, and guess what? I survived. It was probably worse for those people he told no snacking between meals. That wasn't difficult for me, but I heard at least one person say how difficult it was for them. A final note, don't judge other people and how they fast or do not fast. We each have enough to do to be obedient to how and when God tells us to fast. Read Romans chapter 14, verse 10, which tells us not to judge our brothers, and that includes our sisters too. So, anytime is a good time to fast, but what is most important is to listen and to obey the direction of the Holy Spirit while fasting. Now, please listen as Apostle Charles gives details on how to contact us. Until next time, God bless.
If you want to contact us or comment on this podcast, please visit our website at cgmissions.com/podcast, where all episodes are available by category and series format. This is Apostle Charles. Until next time, God bless you.
Charles George Missions is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Donations are tax deductible. Donations may be made through our website, cgmissions.com.